that's a little bizarre.
Okay, welcome. You're listening to the Crez Files podcast. It's Saturday, the 19th of March, 2016. This podcast is available from iTunes and also our website, which is crezfiles.com. You can go and check it out over there. We're also on Facebook under the Crez Files. Lots going up, lots to do. Thanks for listening. Okay, we are plugged in and ready to rumble, and I've got Anita Whitney back with me today. We had Anita on last year sometime, going over the straw man information. That was a rabbit hole, I tell you, Anita, the straw man.
It is.
It is. I wanted to get you back on at least again, which I do now, to go over your mandatory vaccination information, your great website, Parents Against Mandatory Vaccines, which we're going through all this here. It's just a nightmare in Australia, and this all, of course, ties up with a straw man and our rights, human rights, civil liberties, health freedoms, everything, you know. It all sort of ties in together, but as you know, the Americans know only too well, we're copping this huge push for forced vaccinations, you know, vaccinations onto our children. And it's really getting ugly here, especially through the media. So I just wanted to catch up with you and find out what's going on. But tell us a little bit about your work here in these websites. Is Parents Against Mandatory Vaccines, is that your main website for the vaccine issue? Because I do publish a lot of it, because you send it directly to my email. And I'm always like, wow, because you guys publish, like, incredible documents and the really good stuff, the meat and bones there. So I always put it on our website and chuck it up on social media and get a really good response to that website. And I'm going to put that up today because it's a wealth of information. And I know you're in America, but just talking to you previously before we started, you are sort of working out as well in regards to what we're doing in our laws. So a lot of it helps, you know. I think what happens in the US happens here. So, you know, it is important that people go on your site there and have a look at all that info, because there's a hell of a lot on there. But tell us about that a little bit.
Well, thank you so much. That is so nice. I started this website. It was actually my first website for Ohioans, it was called. And it was during the false H1N1 pandemic.
Yeah.
And I might have mentioned this on the program last time. I was concerned that people were saying that they were all going to force the population to accept the H1N1 swine flu vaccine. And I had just listened to Sherry Tenpenny talk about it, and I thought, okay, well, if they're going to do that, I ought to be able to find it in the Ohio Revised Code. And that really started me looking closer at both the legal system, the public health system, and the vaccination issue. Because at the time, that's what I wanted to find out. So my first website was called For Ohioans, and I did a follow the money trail to figure out how that pandemic was funded and how the money moved from Washington into the different states, so that the different states passed new statutes regarding the word pandemic, and it had never been in our state statutory code before. But all of a sudden, in 2003, they really went around the whole country making sure all states passed pandemic laws.
It's like a massive campaign.
It was. It was very well organized.
With the media people. You don't realize at home, do you? You just see them talking about it and pushing it in the newspapers and media, and you think, okay. You don't realize there's such a complex machine behind that that's all been pre-organized.
Absolutely. In fact, when I started my search, and again, I was trying to figure out if they could force us to take a vaccine, I ran back into, after 9/11, there were a couple gentlemen that went around the country trying to get each state to pass a Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, okay? And they went into each state, and they put on presentations, they talked to people, and ultimately, the federal government corporation, offered money to each state to pass these statutes. Okay, and this is the corporations contracting. So the federal corporation contracted with the state of Ohio, and the contract required that they change the public health laws, which they did, and that they established a new policy regarding quarantine.
Yep.
And when they got done doing that, they did one in 2003, they accomplished the second in 2004. In 2005, they got their check. Okay? Mm-hmm. So when 2009 came along, they were good to go. The structure was already built. The money had exchanged hands. They had all the statutes and rules. And it had been a couple years since they did that. So in 2009, when I called my so-called elected representative and asked him if there was anything in the state that would allow them to vaccinate us against our will, well, he had no absolutely not. He had no awareness. See, he wasn't in office when this took place. It took place in 2003.
He must have been golfing.
Well, yeah, he was. So he got elected several years later, and when these guys get elected, they don't know what happened before they got there.
Yep.
So if these statutes get passed and they wait a couple years, the people who are in office don't even know it's happened. I mean, it's uncanny how well organized and how sneaky this thing is. Okay. But anyway, as I would research this topic, I got tired of calling people up and saying, oh, let me send you this. I found this out and I found that out. And I said, this is taking too much time. So I started my very first website on Wikispace. It's called For Ohioans. And then I met Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and a bunch of other. I got involved with all the people who have been in the movement for years. And then I was told that I needed to change the website, and because people would think it was only for people who live in Ohio. And I changed its appearance against mandatoryvaccines.net.
Mm-hmm.
And continue on in that area. It, for a while, it looked like everybody had an exemption. So once we educated the people, all they had to do was submit an exemption and their children wouldn't have to take the vaccines. Some of us were concerned that would be temporary and that they would change the statutes of the state. And yes, indeed, last year in California, they got rid of all exemptions but medical ones, which are hard to get.
Yeah.
So now we're saying, okay, we're not going to accept that there's not an alternative. And what I started to do, because I understood the straw man by now, which I was educated in the straw man by John Harris, first introduced me to it out of the UK when he did that wonderful video on YouTube called It's an Illusion. So ultimately, I started to put these things together, how it is you've got statutes, vaccine mandates, straw men, you know, and they actually do come together. They actually do come together. And by understanding how they come together, there are solutions that people don't see. And it's interesting because I just had a group of people over today, and we were talking about the legal system and using notices and trying to figure out how to protect ourselves. And when I explained to them, they all understood the straw man and the corporation. I said, you know, we got all these issues out there. We got the vaccine people. We got the GMO people. We got the fluoride people. We got the chemtrail people. And I said, what's tragic is they still think you've got a constitution, and they're still trying to figure out how to apply the constitution to stop all of these things. And none of these groups seem to have figured out what our legal system really is. So I'm trying to break into these groups gently and say, well, it's happening because it's happening to the straw man, because you don't understand we don't have a constitutional government. What we have is a corporation. And you know what? It's hard for them to get, you know, it is awfully hard for them to accept that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, even though they know they're running out of road, they're very worried. Many are taking their children out of school if they can. They're afraid they're going to be forced to be vaccinated. And to get them over that hurdle and say, here's how you're going to have to protect yourself. You're going to have to deny them consent, because they're presuming that you're consenting. And honest to gosh, they have such a hard time with that.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know.
So that's how I got into it. And I have a medical background. I was in medicine as a respiratory therapist. And I worked in an office. And I worked in a doctor's office as well. And I'm married to a physician. So I watched. He's now retired, but I watched how the rules are applied to the physician. And once you understand how they keep these physicians under control.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that interests me a lot. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because these physicians are under control, and people, they don't quite understand how the medical licensing and all this medical stuff works. And that's why I posted that article that caught your attention, which stated that honest physicians prove that evidence-based medicine is a fraud. And that was written by a retired, you know, the information in it, some of it comes from a retired physician who did an amazing job. I mean, I fell off my chair when I read this. He actually got published in the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons in the fall of 2015, an amazing article called Modern Medicine at the Crossroads. Mm-hmm. And he followed how, and I think it's going to apply in Australia as well, because what he did is he put together when the government came in our country and they offered Medicare. You can sign up for Medicare, right?
Yep.
You're going to get government benefits. Then they went on to Medicaid. You sign up, you get government benefits, right?
Yep.
Well,
that's how they get you.
That's how they get you, right? There's conditions, right?
Oh, man.
Yeah, and here are the conditions. If you're going to take our benefit, then you're going to have to do this, that, or the other. And we are struggling with this right now.
Ooh.
And when you read this, Modern Medicine at the Crossroads, I hope people take the time to do that, because you can kind of move fast over some of it, but you will see the structure that has been the corporate profiteering structure that has slowly but surely been put in place. that brought us to where we are today.
Oh, it's being led into a trap.
Exactly.
People aren't spooked by now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm fighting right now.
Well,
three of my legal consultants are veterans, okay? And in America, the Senate wants to pass a rule for all medical benefits coming through to veterans that they have to be fully vaccinated.
Yes. Yeah, I saw
okay.
that. Yeah. That's happening okay. here as well. It's not just your children. That's what we've been screaming. It's going to be everybody on any kind of welfare payments. You have to be at least vaccinated with a flu shot. And yeah, it'll roll on from there. But I think, as you're right, yeah, if you're getting any kind of benefits, it's coming for you as well.
Right. Okay. So talking with my consultants, I said to them, okay, there's very likely a presumption. And, you know, you can pretty much look for the presumption. Remember, they're all corporations and they're bound by the laws of contract. So there's a presumption in there that you contracted and consented. We don't know that because that's not how it's presented to us, but that is how it's functioning. Because again, if they're all corporations, they can't function any other way outside of the law of contracts. You understand that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They can't shake hands. They can't nod. Everything they do is a contract on paper, and we sign the paper.
Yeah.
And then the presumption is that we agreed to all the terms and conditions, even though they weren't revealed. So it's called a presumptive adhesion contract. And that's what they're inflicting on us all over, I guess, in Australia, everywhere. And that is, here's your benefits. You know, you want your benefits. Okay, sign here. Oh, it will be fine. No, this, if you just sign this, and you're going to get your benefits. And you think, well, I haven't had time to read it. Oh, okay. And then you read it, you don't understand it because it's all legalese. And then the person across the desk said, well, I'll tell you, if you want these benefits, you're just going to have to sign this. And the individual is kind of stuck, and the guy across the desk looks so nice and friendly. He couldn't possibly be asking you to sign something that would hurt you, right?
Of course not. It's just as easy as just signing here. My God, you get on benefits in Australia, it's a maze, a mirror maze of broken mirrors. It's unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, we had a baby, but I won't go near it. But I've looked into it. It's unbelievable what this type of documents you've got to produce and everything you've got to give them to get benefits. It's unbelievable.
Right.
Yeah. Boy, used to be just a paper or whatever, but now it's oh, my goodness.
Sure. So by the time you're done, they feel that they're fairly comfortable in saying they've got consent to enforce any rule they want on you.
Oh, yeah, boy. I don't think people would read half of it anyway, what they're signing, you know?
Right.
They just want their benefits, of course.
Right.
You
okay.
Know, it's nice when they do come into the bank, you know?
What do you mean?
Well, when people's benefits, when they finally go through all this, you know, I don't think they're thinking about what they're signing and what they're consenting to, you know? But, you know, once they start getting the payments through and it helps them get their shopping and stuff, nappies, stuff like that, you know?
Right.
That's why I sort of worried about, yeah, with the computers taking over people's jobs now, and I'm looking at a future where a lot of people are going to be on the unemployment lines. You know, automation, you know, with things getting more technical and people needing computer experience to work,
right.
You know, they're going to be facing getting payments and having to sign up to this.
I agree. So, we can talk about remedies, but I first would really like people to understand the structure. And until they understand the structure, the remedies won't make sense, right? I mean, getting them to understand the structure is actually it sounds easy because you seem to get it, but it is really hard because one individual said to me the reason they don't get it is because it's abstract, and we're not taught abstract thinking.
Yeah.
So when I say a presumptive contract, a lot of people don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And that's abstract. You say, well, presumptive means you're agreeing to all the terms and conditions, even though you don't know what they are.
Yeah.
Now, you say to them, is that abstract? So that should be fairly concrete. So what they're asking you to do is authorize this and agree to terms and conditions, not ask questions, just agree, and then comes the enforcement when now you're into the real meat of the matter, because many cases the enforcement is horrific.
Yeah.
Like with the veterans. These veterans are now being told that they should be fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's horrifying, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but it's really, if we can get the veterans to understand this.
What's going on, yeah.
Okay. So who was the contract? Maybe you and I can take it apart. Who were the parties to the contract? Well, we went through and looked at the straw man. We realized if you've got a birth certificate, you've got a straw man.
Uh-huh.
So who were the parties to that contract? The straw man and the military. That's who the parties were. The corporation, which is the military,
yeah,
and the straw man. Those are the parties to the contract. The living flesh and blood you is not recognized by the corporation. It can only contract with the straw man.
Yep.
Okay, so now you can start. I'm hoping people will start to see remedies. Who do they have a right to vaccinate? They have a right to vaccinate the birth certificate.
Yeah, they can jab all that all they want.
Yes. It belongs to them. It's their property.
Yep.
And if they want to vaccinate the birth certificate, I guess I don't really much care.
No, I guess people can take the birth certificate into the doctor's office. Yeah, give them that.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct. So, correct. In fact, we're trying to come up with a graphic artist to demonstrate that's who they've got authority over. That birth certificate is where the contract lies. And I think you and I, even the contract for school, you sign your child up for school. Okay, it is the straw man name that goes in the record. The school corporation, the state corporation, has a contract with the parent's straw man to enroll the child's straw man. So the rules apply to what? The straw man.
So if you recognize this as a human being, that the birth certificate is in fact the straw man, and
right,
you announce your rights in regards to that in the proper manner, it's two different things. They can't tie you, flesh and blood you, to the straw man that's the birth certificate, if you recognize that, if you're aware of it. But if you're not aware of it and you just tumble into these doctor's offices or wherever it is and sign away, not separating your flesh and blood self from the straw man, which is the piece of paper, that's when you're going to get yourself in trouble. So you need to see the two and
you
separate
need to
them.
Yes, you need to see the two. And
if
and
you physically signed it with your hand, you know what I mean? If you that's what you're talking about. If you physically sign something, that means you're in trouble, right?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, again, what you've fallen into is a presumption, right? You've fallen into the presumption. And the presumption that you fell into is the fact that I love one of these videos talks about the straw man as being a coat that you wear. You
yes,
wear this coat.
Yeah.
Okay. The presumption that you fall into is that the body is connected to the coat.
Yep.
You're wearing the coat.
It's almost
and until you, yeah, until you get out from that, take that darn coat off, they're going to treat you as if you're one in of the same. Maybe that helps people through the abstraction.
Well, there's actually another side to it because, you know, your soul is actually contained in your body. So you need to separate that as well. Your soul's not your body. When your body dies, your soul moves on. It doesn't die as well. So you've got that side of things.
Right, but the first thing you've got is that the straw man is not living.
Exactly.
This is truly, I'm hoping maybe your listeners will understand. Some of us who've been looking at this for years really get the fact that we are in a life and death battle between the living and the dead. Now, when I say that, I mean you and I, we can walk and talk and we can make jokes and we need to eat and we need sleep. We can create things and bake cakes and do all kinds of amazing, wonderful things because we're alive. But a corporation, any corporation, is a fiction. It is words on a piece of paper. It is not alive.
Yeah.
And that is so important for people to understand that we cannot let the corporate fiction control life on planet Earth. It's not real. And we're going to have to hammer away at this until we finally get through the abstractions and the living say, no, I will not be a straw man. I will not be a dead fiction. I will declare myself a living flesh and blood man or living flesh and blood human. Now, these are words from Judge Dale. He's a retired federal judge, and this is what he had to say. A corporation is a fictional character or entity in law created by the government, which makes that fictional character or entity the intellectual property of the government. But you're not told that. Corporations can own any number of other corporations, but they can never own a flesh and blood human being. All laws created under this parent corporation will essentially become corporate laws and regulations to govern the parent corporation and all subordinate or sub-corporations owned by the parent. The corporate laws and regulations are called statutes, and their effect and control over human beings is deceptively obtained by consent through civil contracts. Look up the word person in any modern law dictionary and you will see a person is regarded as a corporation and not as a flesh and blood living being.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we're back to here we have this corporation telling the straw man what to do. So the question is, and question will remain for most of the people until they get this, how to take off the coat. Say, here, you want to vaccinate the coat? Go for it. You want to vaccinate the birth certificate? Go for it. You
put the birth certificate in the coat.
There you go. But they own, the state owns the birth certificate. So if your child's in public school, the state can say all those registered straw men in public school are going to get vaccinated. Okay, because we own the birth certificate, so we can say that. But then the parent has to come in and say, hold on. You own the birth certificate, but you don't own the child.
Mm. Yes.
And unfortunately, the bar attorneys aren't going to help us much because the bar attorneys, first of all, they don't really understand it. They're not taught it. And if they go around exposing the fact that we don't have a government, what we have is a corporation pretending to be a government, it's possible, it's quite likely that they will lose their bar cards and won't be able to practice law.
That's the way it is.
Yeah.
Same with the
doctors.
And
that's why they will stand in your in my way. They stand in my way all the time.
Yeah.
They tell me, I've got three different emails from angry bar attorneys who said, well, it doesn't matter that if it's a corporation. It doesn't matter that it's a corporation. And I'm like, are you kidding me? It's everything. A corporation isn't real. But again, it's very hard for people to get that. I think you know that because we're so used to these corporations being everywhere, we think they're real.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's a Truman Show.
I ask people, I challenge them, call up the government of Australia and talk to him on the phone.
You can't even talk to MPs or health ministers.
You're not going to get...
You can't get them anyway.
You can't get them anyway.
They're always in meetings.
Right. That's right. But again, the health minister isn't there to protect the health. The health minister is there to enforce whatever health regulations they want enforced.
Oh, I sent you that. Yeah, Health Minister Jill Hennessy in Victoria openly stated on national television that there are no risks in vaccinating your children. None.
Right.
That's what a health minister said.
Right.
And that went all around the world.
That's unfortunate.
Well,
they do that here all the time. Do you remember the World Health Organization in the H1N1 pandemic? That went around the world. They had everybody, all these governments buying these vaccines for this non-existent disease. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was swine flu as well. I was talking about people, I was working with people, they thought they had it. Because the media did such an incredible spin job and this fear campaign through the media. People had the normal seasonal flu and they thought they had swine flu and they were going to get the vaccine. So God knows what was in that.
Correct.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people that were injured by it. And then the World Health Organization was exposed for that scam. So people have to understand that they can't trust the media or the WHO or the CDC or your version of it. Because now they're all tied to the WHO. When I looked at the document that I was referring to, which is when they passed in 2004 and 5, they passed a statute and they wrote a manual about quarantine. And then 2005, they got their check. When I looked at that manual that they wrote, in it, they accepted the World Health Organization as having authority. So what they did, because of a pandemic, so what they did is they are tying the WHO into all these countries through treaties and agreements. And that's probably what you're hearing from this health minister.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't really personally to me look like she can put two and two together anyway.
No, but she's going to promote whatever the WHO says.
Of course, but that's what the public aren't seeing. That's what we're screaming to everybody to at least get them to start looking at the bigger picture and breaking it down to see what the, Anita, our media is controlled by Rupert Murdoch, News Corp. I mean, he owns pretty much all our newspapers, and it's a massive campaign to force vaccinate. And he himself is up to his eyeballs with big pharmaceutical companies. You know, and millions of Australians are getting up every day and they're buying these newspapers and they're buying into it. You know, this new one from the Daily Telegraph from Maria Bilias, refusing to vaccinate is akin to child abuse. So this is what they are writing in our main newspapers in Australia. She says here on a broader scale, because not only are they guilty of neglecting the safety and well-being of their own kids, but they're also exposing other children to a raft of preventable diseases. So she says, she calls people who choose not to vaccinate here child abusers now, after we were called murderers. So this is how desperate they're getting, and people are buying into it.
Well, one of the problems, when I got into this, and one of the problems that I ran into, and I think it's happened, you've got some people in Australia who've taken the same path, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. The decision in the United States, I can tell you that because I know people who were, their history goes way back to the beginning of this battle, was made that it should be about choice. So all of these organizations, and that made Big Pharma very happy.
Yeah.
All of these organizations decided that the battle should be about choice. We should have the choice. So they got all organized. They set all of their messages up. I'm looking at them. They're still there today. One of the major organizations in the country regarding vaccination research is the National Vaccine Information Center. And right on the back of the book, it says, Protecting Health and Informed Consent Rights. Your health, your family, your choice. Now, this came out last year. Now, that's what is this choice stuff? And when I got into this, my husband, by that time, I really got him to take a look at vaccines. He says, what is this choice? Nobody chooses to take poison. Okay? But they've managed to control the dialogue. So it's about choice instead of about toxic vaccines.
Yep.
Now, you and I are coming into this and we're saying, oh my gosh. And that's the foundation that was laid by others before we got involved. And there are still people out there saying it's about choice. I tried to reach those people and they are not going to budge. And I'm beginning to think it's because they have nonprofit organizations. And if they attack the CDC, they're afraid that they will lose their 501(c) status, tax exempt status. So they're not going to do it. So when you go on my web page, I don't have a 501(c)(3). I'm not worried about losing my nonprofit status. I haven't got anything. Well, sure, they can come after me, but I don't have a organization they're going to take down because I don't have an organization. Okay? So if you look at my website, and I'm not saying I'm smarter than anyone else, I'm saying I don't have the same restrictions on my, you know, what I do that they have. So you will see on my website at the top, CDC exposed. I said, you guys have got to change your plan of action, change the dialogue. You're out there saying you have the right to refuse vaccines. Why don't you turn it around saying, holy moly, do you know what the CDC is? Look at what they are. And holy moly, do you know what Big Pharma has done? Look at who they are. So we're losing the battle because as long as it stays into choice, we're going to lose.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
So on my website, we're trying our best to get the word out and breaking out of choice. Now, if you look at the website, we have a page, Big Pharma Exposed, okay? One piece of 8.5 by 11, two sides. You can hand that to your friends, your doctor, anybody, okay? And it's got proof by researchers. John Ioannidis did a study that was released in 2005 that he published, and the name of it was Why Most Published Research Findings Are False. And nobody has discredited John Ioannidis. He goes around and gives lectures across the planet. Then you move down and you've got the guy, the creator of Merck vaccine, the doctor, called it one of the, from France, one of the most horrific scientific mistakes ever made. Then you go down and you've got Dr. Peter Ross, who was a CEO or a VP for a drug cartel. And he wrote a book called The Whistleblower, Confessions of a Healthcare Hitman. Then you go on and we've got the Harvard University report of 2013. And the title is Institutional Corruption of Pharmaceuticals and the Myth of Safe and Effective Drugs. Then you've got Dr. David Lewis, formerly with the EPA and the CDC. He wrote a book, Science for Sale. You ought to get him on. He's dynamite. Mm. Then you've got Dr. Marcia Angel. And did you know that in 2005, she was the former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine? And she wrote a book called The Truth About the Drug Companies. So these are not little meat people doing these things. These are the insiders trying to get the word out. Now, when I showed this to my retired husband, I got his attention.
Yeah.
And I didn't talk about choice.
Boy.
That's one thing that's holding everybody back. They're not willing to cross that line, organize themselves, and tell the truth about Big Pharma or CDC. There must be enough people infiltrated into these organizations that prevent them from doing that.
Yeah.
Now, that's my theory. I don't know the name, but I've seen some lobbyists that were working to protect the choice right. And every time we tried to say, look, expose Big Pharma, expose corruption in the CDC, these lobbyists told everyone they couldn't do that. And they were working to stop Senate Bill 277 in California. And the people who were there controlling what was told to the legislators managed to prevent these truths from coming out.
Yep.
So we've got problems with the people at the top who tell us that they're working on our behalf. And you know what? I don't think they are.
No. Well, I mean, yeah, you saw in Australia what happened to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. She was just simply going to visit with her husband, and some groups asked her to do some talks, and they were going to cancel her visa.
Right.
It was a massive, disgusting, despicable fear campaign against her,
right,
with threats against her. They threatened her, and we've found out who these people are. And it's a very, very highly organized sort of troll group who seem to be, some of them, getting funding from pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
Just to keep the norm in this. So it's, you know, they're attacking any groups. Mums, dads on Facebook, social media, just coming out to express their opinions and their choice, what they wish for their children, you know, getting involved. And these vicious, nasty people are just attacking, and they're working with the media in this country to name and shame people, to put their pictures up and their personal details and shame them so they run and crawl under a rock, you know.
Right, and that's because the people aren't being told. I don't know
exactly
if you have any influence. The people aren't being told to attack the right problem. Stop talking about choice and start talking about Big Pharma.
Yep.
And get the truth out. And you won't have to defend yourself if you can prove that these major players have been screaming about this industry for a decade or more.
You got so much power here in Australia. I don't think people realize how much.
Correct. But they don't want that to come out. So is
that
not
exactly right? That's what we're trying to do. That's when you kind of get in trouble a little bit.
Well, but if you do it on the behalf, if you stand behind, this is my theory, okay? And it's worth every penny you're paying for it. If you stand behind the wonderful researchers that have stuck their neck out, and you promote their book, their work, their genius, their bravery, then you look like a really intelligent man who's done his research.
Well, that's how I must look now then, because that's what I'm doing with you, right?
Right.
Here you go. So
that's
I'm a genius.
What we're doing. Now, you probably don't know how your country got infested by our corporate Big Pharma. But
parasites?
If you go to my website on I guess it's still on.
Parasitical infection.
Pardon?
Parasitical infection.
Yeah, no kidding.
The
and it
parasites.
Was planned. It really was planned. And I'm not going to apologize because I didn't do it. Okay? I did not do it. But I don't owe you an apology. I owe you sympathy and help. But I had nothing to do with it. Okay, on Parents Against Mandatory Vaccines, if you click on Big Pharma Exposed, Big Pharma Exposed, okay, you scroll down and then you get the truth about the Rockefeller drug empire. And this information is amazing. It talks about how Rockefeller got, and Russell Blaylock exposes this as well, and the drug trust, and how Rockefeller paid paid big bucks. He wanted to get rid of natural medicine and bring in petropharmaceuticals and get drugs sold in all the medical schools selling his products because they couldn't patent natural cures. There was no money in it.
Yep.
Okay. So if you look at this page, it said they paid Harvard, what, $8 million of Rockefeller's drug trust money. Yale got $7 million. John Hopkins got $10 million. Washington University in St. Louis got $2 million. New York's Columbia University, $5 million. And basically, if the college wasn't willing to push Big Pharma, they got nothing. Now, according to Russell Blaylock's research, by the mid-50s, they had their system all built up. They'd taken control of our medical schools. And that's when their plan was to go out into other countries and spread the Big Pharma machine internationally.
Yep.
And it was very well organized, and it came from the Rockefeller Empire.
Yep.
In their drug trust. So Rockefeller infected your country. Rockefeller infected UK. Rockefeller is behind the WHO. And so we're all stuck with this drug empire that's pushing these vaccines. And this is why I think we all, if you want to fight vaccines, maybe you'll like my two-page handout. If you don't, people are free to make their own. Now, at the top of mine, and there's people far more clever with graphics than I am, for sure. But I found a little image of a woman holding a bow and arrow. Then I put a little, you know, symbol of Big Pharma with a skull and bones right in the middle of the R.
That's a bit harsh.
Well, there's where we have to go. That's there's no other place to go.
I think it's
because now they're attacking a parent for putting the child at risk. And the truth is,
yeah, child abusers now.
The people who vaccinate their children are causing harm and injury.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing, you're right there. Yeah, I would say we now in Australia have groups with, just on social media alone, with thousands of members. I've never seen anything like it. So I would say to all these people, I keep saying, don't waste your time with these trolls because they just want to suck your life away on there. Start looking at who's really doing this, you know, the bigger picture. Who's
right.
doing this in our country?
Right.
Who controls our government?
Right.
You know, I mean, we just want people to wake up here. And as I spoke to you at the start of pre-show, Anita, about our Prime Minister who's pushing Malcolm Turnbull, he's pushing the no jab, no play, no pay policy in Australia. The more young people vaccinated, the less chance of disease circulating. This is his thing. So Mr. Slick up here, Mr. Iceman with his suit on, you know, he's up there pushing the Malcolm Turnbull's no jab, no play, no pay policy onto parents. But, you know, anyone can do a quick search, and I put a huge story up on it, and look at Mr. Malcolm Turnbull's investments. And he actually invests in tobacco companies, and he directly invests in Pfizer. But what's interesting is Malcolm Turnbull's wife, Lucy Turnbull, she sits at the chair of Biomed company.
Right.
So it's called Prima Biomed, is a clinical stage company for immuno-oncology. And these products, they work in collaboration to supply Novartis and GlaxoSmithKline. So, I mean, Mr. Turnbull and his wife work directly with big pharmaceutical companies. That's why he wants to force vaccinate people. I mean, it's right there. Anyone can find this.
Right.
Malcolm Turnbull's wife works for a company that works for GlaxoSmithKline.
Right.
Malcolm Turnbull invests in big drug companies. That's what he does. I mean, so
right.
That's why they want to do this. But people are getting angry about that, and you should. And we want them to see this. That's why I've been doing this. We want them to see what these people are and who they represent, and who they represent is big drug companies. We want them to see that the media, that the Murdoch media and their columnists who call parents who don't want to poison their children child abusers, they represent drug companies and they represent the Rockefeller Foundation. So that's what people need to start seeing, Anita, not battling trolls on Facebook who are there
and not,
set
and
up
it's,
to waste your time away, you know, see what's going on.
And the choice. This is the choice issue has got to be killed once and for all. Nobody knowingly would choose to drink poison. It's not about choice. It's about being poisoned.
That's exactly right. And
nobody would choose to inject their child with toxic. The other thing we like to use, toxic, unwarranted pharmaceutical products. That's a phrase I have all over my website. Toxic, unwarranted pharmaceutical products. Why am I calling them unwarranted? Because in 2011, the Supreme Court decided that they have no liability for injury or harm, and they don't have to be effective. So there's no motivation for them to make them either safe or effective.
No.
Let's put it another way. There's no obligation for making them either safe or effective.
No, of course not. I mean, look at the pertussis vaccine, the CDC, they've already all admitted that it's failed.
Yes.
And these kids are spreading it everywhere, and they're blaming unvaccinated kids now with this disastrous, ghastly vaccine that's a total failure. And now I just saw the other day in the local papers they're recommending 2 and 3 booster shots after the child gets the pertussis vaccination. And so it's completely failed. They've admitted that it's a failure. It's a dismal, pathetic failure. You can find it in all the big news channels and stations all around the world. It's come out of the United States. In all your big papers, they're saying that it's failed, it's not working, it's making it worse, and they're still pushing it. They just don't care.
Of course. They're getting paid to push it.
Just getting
they're
getting paid. But people are buying it.
But now let's go back to the physician. Now, my husband has been to, in our country, if you have a medical license, a doctor has to attend a certain number of hours every year in continuing medical education to keep his license. Okay, so my husband, he's like my little spy.
Yeah, fly on the wall.
Yeah. So yeah. He always comes back and he tries to bring paperwork back and he shares with me what is going on. So he went to a program and they were promoting Gardasil, and there was a gynecologist in front of the room who was getting paid to promote Gardasil and tell everybody how important it is. And then my husband jumped up and made some comments. He was shut down and quieted so fast he couldn't believe it.
Yeah, especially with Gardasil, yeah.
And so people don't see yet that the physicians are not being told the truth. Okay.
It's disgusting, though, isn't it?
It's very disgusting. There are gatekeepers everywhere.
Everywhere.
The gatekeepers keep the physicians from knowing the truth.
Yes.
So you're going to go into your doctor's office, this little two-pager about Big Pharma exposed. We tried to put doctors, quoting doctors who've written books, insiders, on this sheet, hoping to give this to your doctor to help him get past the gatekeeper. If we don't give this information to our physicians, judging by what my husband tells me they are told, then they will continue to be in the dark. And believe it or not, they are being required to get vaccinated as well.
Yep.
Somehow, we have to take it from the grassroots, past the gatekeeper, and give it to the players. Or there will be no end of this.
Nope. And, you know, it can be done. We've got Dr. Rima on the show, and always in contact with her. We had Dr. Sherry Tenpenny on. There's so many doctors who practice drug-free medicine.
Right.
It happens in other countries, happens in Germany, you know,
right.
Happens around the world. There's many, many doctors. I know there's groups of them in Australia that are not happy with this, what's going on here,
right.
Forcing We've talked about it a lot, Anita, with this. It's not, vaccines aren't compulsory. They're not going to come in and bang your door down and hold you on the living room floor and jab you, but they're just making life so hard in Australia, and you guys are getting it as well.
Right.
You know, that they're becoming unavoidable. You know, I mean, who's to say they're not going to say, well, you know, all young children now going for their car license has to have a flu shot, or, you know, if you want to travel in or out of the country, you have to have a flu shot, or if you want this job or that job now. That's not forcibly vaccinating you, but it's taking your livelihood away and making it hard for you to work or do anything or get anything done. So people are falling into that trap of just getting it done because it makes life easier, and that's how they're doing it. You know, and that's truly disgusting, and it's forced to me. I think that that is forced when you do that to people. You know, when people can't find a job, or they're struggling, or they, you know, whatever it is, to make them have to get vaccinated to just get on with their life and get a paycheck is forced, right. And it's dreadful, and it's disgusting behavior from our own governments who work and represent pharmaceutical companies. As you said, it's all a corporation. It's not a government.
It's all, yeah. Our government's a corporation. It's all corporation. And you know what? That is where our remedy lies. That is, the once we get this, now I get this, you know, like, okay, now I'm an employee of a corporation right here I live in Central Ohio. One of the local, we have like three major medical centers that compete all the time. One of them decided to make it an obligation for all of their medical employees, all their employees, to get the flu shot. So if you go to parentsagainstmandatoryvaccines.net and you look at the menu, there is a selection there for employees. And basically, it's another legal notice. You give it to the personnel department, but it is absolutely in writing. A, it tells you who the players are. They don't know. We have to remember, they don't know who the players are. They are lied to, and they're given money to force us to accept vaccines, but they think it's good.
Yeah.
So this notice that an employee gives to the employer is going to not say, I won't consent. That's not what the notice says. But the notice says to the employer, I'm educated on this topic, and we have to, you know, you can read it. Maybe we can do a show on just these notices. But long story short, you're saying to the employer, I have all the proof I need, and here you give a little cite that the vaccine science is not settled. I have all the proof I need to prove to you that the CDC is a for-profit corporation. No problem there. I've got the proof. I have all the proof I need to prove to you that Big Pharma has no liability. They don't have to make the vaccines either safe or effective, in case they don't know that. And you make these points to them, then you go on, and here's the kicker. I know you're a corporation, and all of these institutions are. And then you say to them, and I understand what corporate charters are. Remember, corporations are fictions, and they don't really write charters. They're business agreements. They don't write charters, and they never mention men, living men and women, because they don't interact with living men and women. So in the notice, we say, we know you have a corporate charter. Please tell me where in this corporate charter you are authorized to harm or injure living men and women. Cite the date, you know, and when the state gave you the authority, when what statute in our state or in Australia was written, when was it passed, what is its name, that authorized this medical institution or this whatever to harm or injure living men and women. No such thing. Corporations don't write charters that way. So if there's no charter and they function within their charter, they cannot function outside of their charter. The minute they start functioning outside of their charter, the officers become personally liable. Did you know that?
Yeah, jeez. That's important, huh?
It's real important. They're obligated to function within that charter. They have no authority outside of that because they're a corporation, right? Right. but corporations can't write rules for living men and women. I just wrote that. I just read that. So kind of getting through the maze and taking it apart and unpeeling the onion, we start to see that they don't have the authority to harm or injure living men, women, and children.
That's it.
They don't have that authority. When they built this corporate structure, they built it and sold it to us as if this was a legitimate sovereign government, which it's not. It's a bunch of corporations doing business.
Yep.
And by understanding that, it is my sincere hope, and you can tell me if I succeeded to date, to get people to take it apart and say, okay, since it's not this, but it's this, it's a corporation. Oh, now I get it. Now I realize I have to deal with it differently.
Oh, it'd be good for millions and millions of people to see this, you know, because they're all going to rock up to the upcoming Australian elections. And they don't understand that Liberal, Labor, and the Greens are opposites. It's the same thing. It's same agenda. They're being hoodwinked here. It's really scary, Anita. It really is. I'll just mention this to you as well. You probably didn't find out about this. This came out just yesterday on the news. Our government has brought in new Senate laws, and as with everything the government do, they give the appearance that you're getting something, you know? They do it so well. They give the public the appearance that they're winning and the government are giving them something, but it's always you're getting ripped off and they're taking away.
Right.
But these are new Senate laws actually in Australia, Anita, to stop minor parties from even having a say. That's what they are. I put this story up, and Australia Party founder has called them a joke, and he's saying these new laws are going to make it almost impossible for anyone, any of the minor parties, to challenge anybody. So you're just going to have the three major players, Liberal, Labor, and the Greens, who are going to control all the seats in our government. And because what's happening is with the forced vaccination issue, so many parents and so many people are upset about this, and they're lost interest with the Greens, who are total traitors to this country. Absolutely the worst party in the country, the Green Party. And so what we're getting is we're getting these minor groups and political parties starting up that are actually really representing the people and trying to talk about the stuff that we're talking about right now. And so the government has got spooked, and they've come out and brought in these new Senate laws, which are going to stop any of them having a say anyway. So if anyone in this country thinks they have the freedom to choose, you know, freedom of choice, you don't. It's really time for people in Australia to grow up and see what's going on here, Anita, because this is disgusting for them to do this. You know, it really is.
And understand they're writing rules for their corporation. And when I kind of put it together, I realized that I was a member of the Sierra Club, right? And I would vote for, they'd send me a proxy vote. Like many people who have stock in a company are sent proxies to vote. Well, because I understood the Sierra Club, I never expected when I voted for one of those guys that they would actually represent my interests. I never did. And people have to understand, when you vote for these corporate officers, which is all we get to vote for, they do not represent your interests. The minute they're elected, they'll work for the corporation.
That's the way.
And if they want to change their rules, it's their corporation, not yours. And we see that locally all the time. My husband tries to work with the city, and the city more or less tells them, we don't work for you. We work for the city corporation.
Yeah. So anyone who gets to that position, you know, a higher position, has to basically bend over and, yeah.
What's best for the corporation or the city or the country?
What's Donald Trump going to do if he gets elected?
He won't get elected. They won't let him be elected. They've controlled... They have controlled our elections for many years.
Yeah, looking at that just now. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely right. Controlled.
Yeah. And they can. I live in Ohio. In 2004, we have electronic voting. 2004, after that election, all of these people got together to prove that that election had been manipulated electronically.
Yes, yes.
And we succeeded in doing that. We proved it without any doubt. And unfortunately, there was no recourse in our courts to do anything about it. But nothing has changed. They still control the results. And we're back to, if they control the candidates, which they do because they don't let you on the media if you're not one of their players. And then they control the count, the vote count. So they pick the players and they control the vote count. So right now, unless that changes, our best approach is to go back to them and saying, you chose to be a corporation. Fine. That was your choice. We didn't agree. We didn't authorize it. The people were never told that you were going to do this. Therefore, we're going to tell you, go ahead and run your corporation to whatever you want. But guess what? We're not going to consent.
Yeah. As we wind down here for the podcast, I just wanted to ask you this because you mentioned this near the start of the show. I sent you a link, and it is a bit scary to talk about this, but you mentioned it, and I sent you a link. It's this one was from Tot News, and it originally came from The Guardian, and it was because I remember this on the news here. It was new Australian laws allow forced vaccinations and quarantine or jail to prevent the spread of disease. There, this was the Biosecurity Bill of 2014 cleared Parliament as well here. And they're saying that new human biosecurity control orders enable a health department official to force anyone with signs of symptoms of a listed disease to isolate themselves or face arrest. The director of human biosecurity can also order someone to be vaccinated or treated. And this goes on. I sent that to you. The legislation allows biosecurity officers to conduct searches without warrants in emergencies related to pests or disease. So the bill goes on here. It's quite a large one. What do you think about this? And, for example, another sort of like a Disneyland or stage sort of swine flu pandemic outbreak where maybe something, maybe it's just a con like that. But what happens in that situation if they deem this serious enough to implement what they're saying here and force people? Can they do that with these? I know that you don't have this law, but I'm just sort of giving
you an
example
of
how desperate
I
they're
do.
Getting. Yeah, because you mentioned it. Yeah, I'm wondering here if you do
I
get
do
an
have
outbreak,
that law.
What they're going to do, you know?
I have that exact law, and it's in Ohio.
Biosecurity, yeah.
And they created a policy. First, they start with the statute, the law. Then it goes to the people who write the manuals, the policies. In my state, it went to the public health department for the state. Then they wrote a manual called Limitations to Movement, and they released that in 2004. Everything you're talking about is in that manual. So back in 2009, I went over it with a fine-tooth comb. Okay? And I figured out they're claiming lawful authority. And they have a little page on lawful authority. What they say gives them lawful authority to do what they're doing. But when I look closely at it, they play games everywhere. And if you've got people who are willing to do that, you'll probably find the same problem. First of all, the government corporation doesn't have the authority. Give them the straw man. You know, now we're back to exposing that it's not really a government. They are all corporations and they're corporate employees. If they want to put each other in quarantine, I guess they can do that. But in Ohio, they tried to give the authority to each public health department to make the kind of claims. Oh, he was exposed. I'm going to force him to stay in his house or we're going to pick him up and put him in this special facility. Well, when I looked closely at it, I saw that it came from the bar. We're back to the bar. They somehow got the attorney general for the state to claim that this was lawful for them to do this. But guess what? They didn't get him to sign his name. They didn't get him to date his agreement. They just took a piece of paper and said, the attorney general decided this is legal in this memorandum, and that's it. And I'm looking at this and I say, boy, that'd be easy to challenge because nobody signed it. I mean, nobody authorized this. You guys have done this all on your own. When you look closely at it, you're going to see the fraud. It happens every time.
Yeah.
But because we still think it's a legitimate government, a lot of us, we just get scared. And I went through that when I made all these discoveries. I was shocked. Until you start to really peel back the onion and you see who they are and how they do what they do. And then all of a sudden, you start becoming creative and you start thinking of ways to deny them consent. Or say, you want to quarantine me here, let me go get my birth certificate. Here you go. Go put it wherever you want. Or you want me to lock it in the safe and not let it leave the house? Sure. I'll do that. You could come back and visit it tomorrow if you want. I'll leave it right here.
Yeah, I'll wash it.
Yeah. I mean, part of this is overcoming getting out of the matrix. If we don't get out of the matrix, we can't see these solutions.
I guess I try to stay away from the whole fear thing, you know, because it's an energy and that's what they feed on. Fear is their meat and potatoes, their bread and butter. But I always sort of wonder, you know, how far they may go as more people wake up, as more people become aware of the system and they get more desperate to protect the system. And we're talking about the head of the snake, you know.
Right.
It's like the Catholic Church abuse, you know. Each year they get closer to getting to the big boys in the Catholic Church over there in Rome. And they just keep, they just can't seem to get there. But it's like, I wonder, you know, as more and more millions of people wake up and they get your information and they go to the websites and they start telling people and their friends at work and people start seeing, hey, this is a corporation. And they start seeing that we're waking up. I wonder how they're going to react in that way to continue to, have control, you know, keep their control and their power grid. You know, because it's really all a way of thinking, isn't it, Anita? That's how I see it. You know, I think it's
sure
the way
is.
You see things in your mind. Once you start thinking correctly and seeing who's really doing it, that mental projection all over the world of millions of people seeing that way in the correct way, it's going to take them down. That's what I feel. But I'm wondering if that's going to happen and they're going to tumble, they're going to get desperate. But things always have to get worse before they get better, and I think we're going to need to expose that ugliness and go through some hard times and dig in maybe to make the world better, you know?
Well, I think so. And we have a one-page thing on parentsagainstmandatoryvaccines.net called 10 Little Known Facts. Now, none of that is hearsay. All of it's proof. I mean, you read it and anybody, you know, a lawyer could read it. A doctor could read it. A teacher could read it. What we have to really understand is that there is a massive gatekeeper system in place.
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, it's huge.
And the same lawyer that would take your kid, work for the hospital to deprive you of your child, that same lawyer who would give them counsel doesn't know the truth about vaccines.
They're just going along to get along.
Well, he's been told by what he considers a credible source, which is the CDC, that this is really important. So he has no reason to think the CDC and the AMA and the American Academy of Pediatrics.
And their peer-reviewed studies.
And peer-reviewed studies. You know, and they don't even realize that this article that you originally mentioned, Honest Physicians Prove That Evidence-Based Medicine Is a Fraud.
Great article, yeah.
These lawyers don't even realize that there's a whole international organization called All Trials. And these scientists have discovered that at least 50% of the trials that are conducted, of which their science is based on, are never reported. They have no idea what the results were. They're not told. No one's told. Then you look at Dr. John Ioannidis' report, which I've had that, and what does he say? When he looked at the research, the medical research that had been done, every time he said 90% of what they're relying on is based on flawed research. In other words, we're all looking at the medical complex, and none of us are realizing that all the research, science for sale, is been bought and paid for. And the doctors are told this trials have been done. This is a good drug. We've got chemotherapy. It's good because we've got these trials. People don't realize, including the doctors, how the whole research system has been hijacked.
Yep. And we've had some whistleblowers come out as well, saying that about the CDC, that their job was to get rid of the actual, any real evidence anyway that did point towards vaccines causing damage.
You know, exactly.
You're not going to see, that's not going to see the light of day. It's like asking a McDonald's to prove their food's safe and getting a McDonald's representative to get in their own people. And of course they're going to come to the conclusions that suit their agenda.
That's what they do. Now, here's a little quote from this wonderful Dr. Donald Miller, and people can get to there by looking on the Anti-Corruption Society, which is where I posted Honest Physicians Prove That Evidence-Based Medicine is a Fraud. Here's what he said. He said, over the past 50 years, the federal government, and you and I know that means the corporation, mm-hmm. has become increasingly involved in medicine, functioning both as a third-party payer and a patron of biomedical research and clinical trials. And starting 25 years ago, modern medicine has come to adopt a new type of probabilistic medical thinking named evidence-based medicine. And one of the items he cited in his paper, which is brilliant, is vaccines. He cited 5 cases that are being sold as evidence-based medicine have become dogma. And of the 5 cases, all 5 cases are extremely questionable. So the information you and I are sharing, I mean, I go up and share it with my husband, and he's absolutely fascinated because none of it is getting past the gatekeepers. This system was designed.
Yeah, it's
people in the dark.
It really is the Matrix.
It really is the Matrix.
When he takes him into the computer program, it says your whole life's a dream world. You've been living in a dream world, you know. It's this whole incredible complex web, this whole world that's pulled over our eyes, you know. As they say in the Matrix, to blind us from the truth. We're living this artificially constructed dream world of what we think is a reality when our real world sort of, it's got nothing to do with it. It's like we're just stuck in this nightmare, Anita, and people just aren't waking up to see it. And it's amazing how deep it is and how they've just made every single detail, you know, just anything that you try and look at or find a way out, it's they've got a gatekeeper there. And that's what I guess all these trolls are, trolls, right, and gatekeepers, you know. Anytime when you just do what they want and you get up and go to work and you come home, watch TV and eat your dinner and get shoveled into an early grave, you know, they're fine with that. But once you start questioning outside the box, you get the gatekeepers and the trolls. And, you know, once you start asking questions, I mean, people can really see it, I think, now. They're starting to deconstruct this and take this fake world apart and see that it's all a dream world. It really is the Truman Show.
It really is.
It really is unbelievable.
Well, and I guess it is unbelievable, and I was shocked. I've been going through it, you know. I don't know how you went through it. Like, the first shock was...
Yours is a shock, your material, Anita. It was for me as well. Garth was much more... He's been reading about it, but you're kind of like, you know, Morpheus in the Matrix waking people up from the dream world. Because I'd never done a podcast like that about the straw man, and it's hard to grasp, but once you start thinking about it, it makes sense, and it unlocks, right, all these doorways in your mind, and you're like, wow, that makes sense. Well, and here, you know?
Here's what I wanted to say to you, to the people who are going to listen to this. The first time I went through this, I believe I recall it was that wonderful documentary, The Money Masters. Money Masters. Bill Shill made that, and he made it in the late 90s on
Yeah, Bill Shill, that's the one, yep.
Yeah, okay. So for 3 days, this shocked me to my core.
Oh, yeah, yep.
I mean, I felt kind of sick. My worldview was gone. I didn't know what to think. I was sort of lost. At the time, I didn't have anybody to talk to. And I just remember I had to watch it again because I was like, this can't be. This is so apart from what I think. This is so unbelievable. Well, I found out 3 or 4 days, I recovered. Life went on. The laundry had to be done, you know, didn't kill me. And I can't remember what the next one might have been, fluoride. When I discovered fluoride, I went back again. And then I was so shocked I didn't want to drink any liquid. I mean, I got dehydrated just because I was so shocked to think my water was poisoned. But I recovered. And then I met a whole bunch of people who said, oh, yeah, I've known about fluoride for years.
Yep, yep.
And I met a whole bunch of people who said, oh, I've known about the banking thing for years. That came out in 96. You mean you're just finding out now? And you know what? They were all walking and talking and makes sense. They having, you know, they still had their family together for dinner and they still, it's a shock, but it's not fatal.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And other people have gone through it before me and they were already recovered and they were fine. So, well, I hate to be the ones to shock people. I'm hoping that they'll find something about it that's liberating and understand it's just temporary. The shock will you'll recover. And there's probably more to come and you can recover from those too.
Yep. Yeah, it's amazing. Your outward mental projection shapes your whole reality. Just the way you think. And that was a mental thing for you. You started thinking differently. You started seeing what was really going on and you got shocked. But then as you started to absorb all this and start thinking like that, you started to attract like-minded people into your life and then grow from there. That's what happens. But that didn't cost you anything. It's all just the way you see things.
Correct.
It's amazing. It's true so many people do that. You're going to have a massive change. Massive change because it's a vibrational thing. They can't stop that.
I don't think they can stop that. And when I get a massive number of people who understand that all of these rules and regulations are for the darn piece of paper called the birth certificate, take a deep breath, relax, turn around, find that darn thing, and start thinking differently. Because it's, you know, the corporations cannot control living men and women other than by contract. So now you see it. Now you see, oh, okay, they're doing it by contract. Well, what contract? And then you start to really find solutions. What have I been asked to sign? What are my options? Can I restrict my signature? You and I haven't even talked about that yet. There are many ways that we can deal with this. We don't have to be terrified, but we do have to say, I'm consenting because I don't know I'm consenting, and I've got to figure out how to make sure I stop doing that. Does that make sense?
Yep. And all you're asking people to do is think a little bit more and question this so-called reality that's
well, let me give you, before we quit, I'd like to give you a happy story, an easy story. A friend of mine got notice from her city that they had passed a rule in her corporation. The city's a corporation. They'd take money from the federal government regarding climate change. And they had decided that everybody who owned rental property had to get an environmental permit, okay? Because they were going to set up new rules regarding insulation and all that stuff.
Oh, we got that here. Yeah.
Okay. So they sent her this letter saying, we've decided, we passed the rule, you've got to get an environmental permit. It'll cost you $700. Fill out the application and mail it in with your $700. Thank you very much. So she and I talked, and I said, now that's an offer to contract.
Yes.
I said,
Yeah, okay. See, most people wouldn't think that way.
I said, now they made you a nice little offer that you get to screw up your business and send them some money.
There you go.
Now, if you're not interested in accepting that offer, here's what you do. And this is in, we have a Lawfully Yours guide on the Anti-Corruption Society website with a lot of this in there. Ways of challenging their authority. And there's a letter in there. It's a letter of inquiry. So I said, write him a letter back saying, I got your letter, your request. Could you please tell me what obligates me, what contract have I signed that obligates me to abide by the rules of your city corporation? Thanks so much. Looking forward to your response. So she gets a letter back. Now the city says, we passed statute or rule regulation such and such on such and such date. It's the number is this, and here's what it said. And they put the words in the letter saying this is what we decided and this is what we passed.
They didn't answer a question, though.
Of course not. So she and I talk again, and I said, okay, here's what I would do. Send them a letter back and thank them for sharing information about the new corporation rule. Thank you so much. However, I still didn't get or I still need some evidence that I've signed some contract that obligates me to your corporate rules. Appreciatively, I would so appreciate if you'd address this for me. Thank you. So she sends it back. So next comes the letter from the attorney. Now the attorney says, we passed this corporate rule, and we passed in this corporate rule, we gave ourselves permission to charge you $500 a day for every day you don't comply. And again, threats. Now comes the threats. You get it. See, she didn't cave. She wouldn't contract, right? Now we're going to threaten her. This is what we'll do if you won't contract with us. And she didn't contract, and they finally gave up.
Yeah.
But that...
It's like one of those Nigerian scams, you know?
Yes!
You have some money in some account. We just need your details. People need to see it the same. It's just an offer to scam you out of money. I guess because it comes from the government, it's serious. But, you know?
Right.
It's not.
Now you're laughing. See, now people are starting to laugh.
I love that story because it really puts things in perspective on what people can do on a day-to-day, you know, on the ground level, because they get these kinds of things all the time, you know?
Right. Right.
Don't just sign it and send your money away, you know?
Yeah. In fact, I read that, and I can't remember, it's been a while, that the city of New York had a problem with their budget. And so they decided to send out a whole bunch of parking tickets. They just got a bunch of addresses and sent out parking tickets. They just picked a bunch of names and addresses and sent them out. 50% of the people who received them paid them, even though there was nothing legitimate about them. So now you try to say to yourself, well, you know, this corporate government is doing horrific things, but... You know what? Maybe I could get a little smarter. Maybe, am I being an easy sucker? Am I being an easy target? Maybe I could stop doing that.
Cool.
You know, don't be afraid to ask them by what authority. Always do it politely. Thank you so much. I'd appreciate how this obligates me. What did I sign? Once you get that it's all contract, then you can start asking, where is the contract? And it does get more liberating. It seems scary at first, but it's amazing how creative people can get once they start realizing how this thing works.
Yeah. I saw an interesting sort of sociological experiment. It was on TV here, and they did a few different things, and they had a coffee shop and a lady working behind the counter set up to see, and so the people would come in all the coffee, and then the lady would ask the customers for their mobile phone numbers to put into the system and to see what the reaction would be. And it was quite incredible because almost 100% of people refused. to give their mobile phone number. And they were asking, why? Why do you want my number? And they're like, oh, just marketing and to give you, send you texts about new products we have. It's a new thing we're trying here. And they were really asking questions and very suspicious about this, about giving their mobile phone to a coffee shop owner. And they were like, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't understand that, you know. But it's amazing because it tied it up with how easy people give their credit card details and all their information on Facebook and all their personal photos and details without any questions. How they just give up everything that they do day to day in their lives without any problem, you know, if it's government or whatever, but someone asked them for a mobile phone number when they're buying something and they got all funny. It's just crazy. It showed how insane people are in that regard, you know, that they're not like that with everything they do. But it did show people were uneasy about giving a personal mobile phone number over to a shop owner, you know. I thought it was a funny experiment in a way.
Well, one of my consultants said he's worked with groups, and one of the things he does with groups when he comes and gives talks is he passes out a piece of paper, and he says to them, okay, I want you to sign this piece of paper and send it back to me. And they asked, they finally said, why? Some guy said, what is it you want us to sign this for? And he said, well, if you sign it and send it back to me, I'll fill in the details when I get it back. It'll be okay? It'll be fine. And it's like all of a sudden the light goes on in their head. You mean he wants the signature, but there's nothing on the paper, and he's telling me it'll be fine. He'll fill in the details when he gets the signature. And his people get it when he says it that way.
Yeah, that's the moral of this little story we're saying here. You know, right. If you go up, you walk up to people in the park and say, can you sign this? How many do you think will? If you just have like a blank piece of paper or some confusing piece of paper and they don't know you, people are going to go, get lost. So why are they doing this so easy for the corporations? Because they don't understand the government there, you know? They don't even question.
Well, and they don't understand one of the biggest problems that we have found. And I did a short stint in real estate. And when I was, to get your real estate license, you have to learn the basics of contracts, and very basics. Now, if you're in business, sometimes you guys know about contracts because you have to sign a contract to do this, that, or the other. But in Lawful Years, we have a section, what is a contract? Everyone should be taught that in high school before they are 18 and are legal to sign a contract. That is where the bar has absolutely, there are people who tried to do that, and the bar has blocked them every time.
Yeah.
Because if everybody turning 18 knew about contract law, trust me, they would be looking at everything they sign.
Everything. It would be a nightmare for this system.
It would be
Juggling like 100 balls trying to you know, keep it all intact.
That's correct.
You've got millions of people doing that, young people as well, you know, with everything they do, especially, as you said, yeah, when they start getting old enough to drive and go to the pubs and buy things, purchase, you know, sign stuff, all these things, you know, if they know their rights like that, they'd be causing havoc all over the place.
You know, I even tell people, if you're going to go, you go to the doctor's office or anywhere you go and they say, here, sign this form, give yourself a half an hour before your appointment at least. Because what you need to do is sit down and read every word of it. And if you don't understand it, and you probably won't, because they put all kinds of garbage in those things.
Yeah.
Make that woman explain it to you.
Yeah.
And if she doesn't understand it, then say, great. You want me to sign this? You don't understand it. I don't understand it. You better send in your supervisor. Now, if the supervisor can't explain it, you keep going up the ladder. If we all did that, these horrible contracts that are outrageous, can you imagine the bar attorneys would have to start making them simple because nothing would be getting done. Everybody would be sitting around trying to figure out what the heck is on that agreement. But unfortunately, we don't read them. We just sign them. So they get nastier and nastier each year goes by.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, God. Yeah, well, people are so irritable now. And we've talked about that, you know, just with technology doing everything for people now, you know. They just don't want to read anything anymore. It's just, there's a piece of paper, they just blindly sign it. Get it out of my face. And so, of course, they're going to get more nasty and aggressive towards you, then, the individual.
Yeah, and then they're going to say, but wait a minute, you agreed.
Yes.
Here's your signature. People, you said it was okay.
People need to start seeing a pen like it has blood in it, your blood. That's how important a signature is. I just don't think the importance is being stripped away. You know, you don't realize when you sign something, it's so important and you need to question.
Right.
So important. Right.
Many people say your signature is your most
that's how they get you. That's
possession.
How, that's how they take control of you, isn't it? Through your signature. Right. Yeah, it's amazing. Right. It's amazing. It seems like an energy thing, you know? They get you through that line.
Right.
You know, you're giving up all your defenses there. You're, you know, you're giving up.
And you're consenting to it.
Consenting at the same time, agreeing.
Yes.
You know, I mean.
No, what we have in our country, because we many people presume we have a Bill of Rights. Many people presume that we have courts of justice. And so they're not worried about signing because they believe in their heart of hearts that this Bill of Rights will prevent this agreement from harming them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't understand that contract law is superior to common law or constitutional law. And let me say that again to get people to understand. Contract law is superior to constitutional or common law. Why is that? Because you consented.
That's it. That's all it is.
If you agree to give away any rights you have, they will say, but you agreed to give away your rights right here, see?
They gotcha. They gotcha that print, yep.
And people say, well, you don't have a representative government, and they'll come back and say, well, sure you do, but you signed this agreement with this, you know? You agreed to this. So you can't complain about us because you said that's okay.
Well, as you've said before, with your friend questioning the letter from the city, you know, that as soon as you question them, they're going to tell you this is what you're going to do. And then you question again, they're going to get nasty and they're going to try and scare you. And if you keep pushing through these boundaries, you're saying that you're going to come out the other end better for it. That's what I'm thinking, that you can't be scared because they're going to try and really scare you and push you into doing things, certain things, you know. We've talked about that before, with the police pulling you over, you know, and questioning them. They might try and rough you up a bit.
Right.
You know? They're going to get violent towards people doing this, you know.
Well, maybe not, you know. I mean, you know, in Lawfully Yours, we've got some suggestions. You can take a police ticket, and remember, they're all in commerce. It's a contract. You've got 3 days to cancel that contract. You can sign for the ticket, and then you send back, I don't consent to these procedures, I don't agree to contract, and mail it within 3 days back.
Yes.
So you and I, didn't we talk about straw men, the nature of the cage? Did we talk about that last time?
Yes, yes.
Don't you think that would help people who are listening if they didn't catch that last time?
I'm going to tell people to go back after listening to this, and our podcasts are all up there in the archive, so they can re-listen to that show because that ties up with this one.
Right.
Exactly.
And if they really do need, they'd enjoy watching it because there's some humor in it. They really need to watch that video that came out of the UK that's got John Harris, who's since deceased, sad to say, called Straw Man. It's YouTube. Go to YouTube, type in Straw Man, The Nature of the Cage. And they explain how it is we're consenting and how we can stop consenting.
Yes.
And how it's the straw man they have control over. They do an excellent job. And if your listeners have financial issues and problems, this is just a wonderful video. You liked it. I liked it. I don't know anybody who doesn't like it.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Yeah. They're taking people's houses and livelihoods and everything, you know. And people just are uninformed. It's so sad, you know, that this is going on.
Sad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
it's just going to get worse.
Well,
if people don't wake up to it, that's what I mean, you know. We've got to stop the rot, you know. Just see it for what it really is.
You know what my mom used to say? My mom was always full of these little sayings. Necessity is the mother of invention. That as we get pushed into a corner,
yeah,
we're going to need some answers. So the more people are seeing this, the more people are inventing solutions to protect their family and themselves.
That's what we do as humans, isn't it? On a instinct level, on a sometimes when you trying to find an answer to something, you go to sleep and you wake up in the morning with the answer. It just pops in your head. That's what we do. We're losing that, you know, that fight, that will to survive and, you know, come up with solutions when we are cornered and not just give up and drown, you know?
Well, I know that the people talk about the Declaration of Independence, and I was doing a little research, and that was apparently life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, famous words from our Declaration of Independence. That came from the Law of Nations, a guy named Emmerich Vattel. Okay? Emmerich Vattel wrote a book called The Law of Nations. And in it, I have an article on our website. I'd have to look to see what the name of it is. But he described humanity. Okay? And that's what was the basis, Law of Nations, based on human nature. He did write about it, about what is natural law. And what he said about humanity, what differentiates humans from other animals? Okay? And he said it's creative reasoning. Mm. And I thought that was so well put. Creative reasoning. We have the ability to reason creatively. And you see it all the time. I mean, you see people build things out of nothing. You see people sew things without a pattern. You see people try new recipes. You see people come up with ways to jerry-rig machines when they're not working. We humans, that's what we do, don't you think? We're good at it.
Yes, like we build bridges over lakes.
Yes.
Anything to get around. Gosh. We think on our feet all the time, you know? And that instinct as a human being, I don't want, you know, I feel like people are losing that.
Well, and we've been doing it for centuries. We better not lose it.
Our ancestors were big on that, and you know, now the TV's doing the thinking for us.
So, and some of it happened in our country and probably in Australia and many other countries. When the Great Depression hit and people had no money.
Yes, when you're backed into a corner and you, that's the thing.
All of a sudden you say, you know, I'm going to have to learn how plumbing works because I can't afford a plumber.
Yes.
I'm going to have to learn how to change a tire because I can't afford a company to come do it.
I've got to collect water. I've got to try and get power. I've got to try and feed myself.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to do so many things. So, yeah.
Maybe I'll have to learn how to change my own oil because I can't afford a hire. I mean, that's creative reasoning.
Well, technology is taking that away from people, the creative reasoning. That's what I think. I think as we merge with machines, the computers, the technology is doing the reasoning and the thinking for us, along with the TV and the media telling you what to think as well. So people are losing that. And life's become comfortable with their machines and technology and their touch phones and touch screens and everything, you know? I think that's why it's good for people to get out and maybe live off the grid for 6 months or a year even, you know, to get that instinct back again, you know?
Well, or even take on learning something new.
Chores, learning,
Learning something new. I was self-taught on the computer, and I actually, the learning process, people forget that it's actually kind of fun.
Yeah, I'm the same. Yeah.
Right. And if you don't want to go to a class and have somebody tell you what to do, and a lot of people can't afford to do that, and they don't want to go take a course in computers, so they do, we used to call it on-the-job training. They teach themselves. And, you know, they start with a Word document and they're going to write a letter and they have to learn how to do that. And they go, whoa, I know how to do that. Then the next, maybe they're going to want to put together a little database of their family and friends. And they go on the computer and they learn how to do that. And they go, whoa.
So it can be applied in regards to technology as well.
Yes.
Just don't let the technology do the thinking for you. Use the technology and learn how to use it. Don't just be told or taught. Go and learn. Because then you're right. Yeah, you get that little buzz go off in your head that you actually just did something. You made something work.
Yes!
Yeah. Even if it frustrates you. It's good that you get frustrated because you can think of new ways around it to make it work.
And then you've got, then you're back at creative reasoning again, which is where our energy lies, I think.
So that means, you know, technology, doesn't matter what it is, nothing can take away that that creative reasoning because it's inbuilt in you as a human being, spiritual human being.
It really
is. So it's always there, no matter what you're using. You just have to be in charge.
Yeah. I mean, you just have to, and then if you could get the spark back for learning.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing.
And
I
found that, I probably never let it go. I mean, and most people, maybe people don't. I mean, to try a new recipe and have it turn out smashing and learn how to do it or to make an unusual sauce or, I don't know, make a video. I mean, it's kind of, it's I don't know, it meets some kind of a need that we have or write a song. Somehow we have this need to do something, to produce something, to create something. And that's why he's saying we are creative. We don't just hibernate in the winter and, you know, eat, graze in the summer and then hibernate in the winter, and graze in the summer. That's not how we live.
No.
We're unique. So maybe that'll give people hope to understand how much we could learn that we haven't learned before.
Yeah.
But our potential is unlimited. I think people forget that.
It's unlimited. And, you know.
Really.
There's so much to learn and do, you know. Don't shut yourself down.
Right. And when they try to get people to say, oh, he's too old to learn, that is their propaganda.
That's what they love doing, yeah. They really want you to be just sitting on the couch and not thinking for yourself. You know, they're desperate.
Right.
Absolutely desperate.
Tell people that they're too old to learn. What a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, now now you should go and retire if you're 50. It's like, yeah. You know, now 30-year-olds are too old to learn anything. It's just
when you start learning things, you regain the ability to ask questions and not just presume that you're being told the truth and you have to memorize it. Now you've got to understand it, so you have to be able to ask questions because you're trying to understand it. It's not just A, B, C, and D. It's complex. You have to take time, but it's fun.
I
found learning the law to be frustrating, challenging, and sort of amazing because it started to show me the way the world's really run. And in and of itself, the more I saw how the world's really run, I started to creatively thinking of more solutions.
Yeah.
That's my hope, that people will do that.
It's amazing. You know, your thoughts do have wings. You know, it's not like I want $1 million, it's going to drop in your lap, but a solution or an idea will appear to you that lets you see a direction in order to go and make that money, you know?
Right.
Everything you put out has consequences in some way, shape, or form. So negative thoughts are going to have, it's going to ricochet back and you're going to have these things go on in your life that aren't too good. And you're going to start blaming everyone around you, and it's going to bog you down under the quicksand even more. You know?
And you really need to understand your need, your real need for empowerment, and get it in your head that being empowered is being human. That's your birthright. Hello. So maybe people, if they would go and download Lawfully Yours, It's free. You don't have to read the whole thing. You can just spot read what you're interested in. But it's all about helping you understand that as a living man and woman, you do have choices once you see through the matrix.
That's it. Look through the mirror.
Yeah. And people read that and they come up with better terminology. They come up with better strategies. That's why I think we're on the 8th edition. We always put out, when we get something new that's important, we put out a new edition because it's a project that's ongoing.
It is. The ability to get people involved and grab people with just a simple website and a podcast and going on Facebook, you know, and putting links out there and getting other people involved, that's using technology in a positive way.
Right.
That's what I want to do. And it makes you feel good as well.
Right.
So,
did a movie, incidentally, if you haven't seen it, I don't remember if I sent it to you. I did try to take the vaccine issue and...
resend that because I'll put it up with today's link.
Oh, okay. It is the bar, the name of it is, The Bar Cannot Stop Forced Vaccinations, But We Can. And the name of the...
YouTube?
No, the video... I don't use YouTube anymore. I use Vimeo.
Okay, it's a good one. Yeah.
Okay. But on parentsagainstmandatoryvaccines.net, the article is The Bar Cannot Stop Forced Vaccinations, But We Can. And it took me quite a while to make that video. That's part of the learning process, is learning how to make videos, right?
Yeah. It's not that easy. You know, uploading it, editing it. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's something I think it's hard. It's hard, yeah. My first attempt at putting a podcast on YouTube, I was so cranky.
Oh, because
you can't just put audio. You have to attach the pictures and using the Apple computer and just had to sort of work out how to add it all in, but got it up. First it was half.
And then
got the full one up. But yeah, it's sometimes that sort of stuff can be complex, you know?
Okay, and then I'm sure you went down the same path I did. So I got the first couple, I got them figured out. And then when I went to make this one, I said, well, you know, I think you should have music in the background.
Pushing the limits.
Now along comes, okay, what kind of music do you want to put in the background? And how do you do that? And how do you get it to go to fade in and fade out? And so people will start to understand that when you start learning, there's something about us that we don't want to stop learning.
Exactly.
We have this. I don't know. What is it? Are we possessed? We want to learn.
It's endless. Yeah. Yep. It just doesn't stop. Endless sponging it all in. Yeah.
So then the next time I make a video, how much you want to make a bet that I'm going to try to learn a little more?
Yeah, exactly.
Improve a little more. You know, but the name of the video on Vimeo, and it's on that page, is Vaccination Rights and Bar Wrongs. And I try to explain the vaccination issue and the straw man and the corporation in that 30 minutes. And you can let me know if you think that I hit the mark or maybe next time I should add or take away. That was my effort to try to do that.
It's all fun at the end of the day. I mean, the other day I noticed I was looking after the kids and they love to play with Play-Doh, but I noticed that it's expensive and it all comes from China and it's toxic, so I had to go at making my own natural Play-Doh with essential oils in there.
Ooh!
I can do it now, but I made Play-Doh with them and it was the worst Play-Doh ever made. I should have took a photo of it. It went everywhere, all over the house, but we laughed. We laughed and laughed. It was very funny. It was hysterical. It was the world's worst Play-Doh. But I gave it a shot.
Yeah.
I gave it a go. And, you know, and the kids had fun and went everywhere and it was an absolute mess. But everyone was having a good laugh at that.
Well,
you know?
a mess of everything they love. I mean, that's exactly what they want. I mean,
yeah, I tried a while ago to use an old, complex, fidgety coffee machine and ruined it and managed to break it and the coffee splattered all over the wall. When absolutely everywhere. It was like an artist blowing up a coffee machine, you know, with the coffee going everywhere, you know. It's, you know, machines, they can make me crazy, you know. Technology can make me absolutely go crazy, you know, when I can't make it work.
Yeah.
You know, I get like that. And so it's a good lesson for me. I get frustrated. I have a sort of a short fuse. And so it's good for me to constantly challenge myself and try and work out things and keep that mind working.
Right.
You know, because there was an experiment done, I don't know the name of it, a long time ago, maybe even in the 70s, where they took elderly people out of retirement centers that were, you know, almost in a vegetative state, and they did an experiment. They put them in the house where they had to do their own chores and make their own meals. And within weeks, these elderly people were just incredible. You know, the way they were working together and making things, and one guy was pottering around fixing screws, and one was in charge of making this, and they were getting all these things done, and their minds came back. They got healthier, stronger. 'Cause I've spoken to people in the industry there who look after in retirement centers, and they said these elderly people, they come in their 70s or 80s, and they're so strong, and after a year, they're just a vegetable in the bed. You know, right. And they're vaccinating them up with flu shots and everything. So this was a really incredible experiment. I'll think of it soon. It was a famous one, and they redid it not long ago. And they put these poor elderly people that could hardly even walk in a house. And they're getting up early, they're doing the chores, and the way their muscles came back and they got strong mentally again is really amazing, you know?
I totally agree. And that's one thing I find about technology and the computer. I have to really make sure that I don't let it control my world, and because there's so much you can learn and do, that I have to make sure, like I set up times when I have friends over and I cook them lunch, to make sure that I'm balancing my life, because it is that balance that really where the happiness comes. I don't think anybody's happy being obsessed.
Yeah.
And socializing is so much a part of what we need to do. We are very social.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So I think that's great that they're doing that. You know, I would like to see more people do that, but I'd sure like to see more people understand that there's a lot more they can learn. Their learning capabilities are much greater than they think they are.
Yes, exactly.
Now, John Taylor Gatto, if you know about him, he's wonderful. People can Google that. You can see he's done some interviews, A Weekend with John Taylor Gatto, etc. Now, do you know how he defined what makes a really intelligent man or woman? Their ability to concentrate.
There you go.
And I'm thinking, well, you know what? People can practice concentration 5 minutes, see how you do, try to concentrate for 10 minutes. That's a skill that if you don't have it, you could actually build it.
Yeah.
You don't have to be born with it.
That's right.
And so once you start seeing our potential that they've worked really hard to reduce our potential.
Human potential. Yeah, they're really working as hard as they can to right. stub it out, aren't they?
They really
strip
are.
Strip it back, strip it away, down to nothing.
Get rid of our curiosity, get
Everything.
Rid of our... Yes.
And our empathy.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know?
But I don't think if you get your curiosity
you
back...
You can't. I just don't think they can get it out of us.
They can't. They really can't.
Unless they turn us into machines.
Or they turn us into addicts.
Yeah, pretty much. No, I just don't... I don't think that'll ever be... you'll ever be able to get that out of humans. You know, it's just...
I don't either.
You know, and that's good.
Well, and, good. You know, I this is fun talking to you, but I am a grandmother, and when I had the four grandchildren, I closely, keenly, and lovingly observed their little childhood from when they were crawling and walking and, you know, each stage. Oh, my gosh, I had so much fun, I couldn't stand how much fun I was having.
It's an amazing thing, isn't it, to observe that childhood that you don't remember, you know? But now you can go back and watch them grow, and yeah, it's incredible.
And then all of the garbage they feel tell us about humans, you finally see that they've been filling our head with BS.
Yep.
The children are born with the ability to love. They love loving.
Yes, yes,
Born curious. They love investigating things. They're born empowered. They feel like they can do anything. They're brave. I mean, that's human nature.
Yep.
That's human nature.
And that's that's powerful for you to know this, and as an adult, show them.
Absolutely.
You know?
I mean, that's when people tell me the humans are evil, I just say, well, you haven't raised any children, have you?
Yeah.
Because they are not born evil. Yes, they get frustrated, and yes, they fight over toys, but their little heart is not evil. They are joyful. I mean, if people haven't seen a child do a happy dance, come on, they're born with joy in their heart.
Yep.
I know you've seen that happy dance, have you not?
Yeah.
And what is that but the human spirit just bubbling up?
Yep. Bursting out. Yeah. And you can...
That's what I think we are.
You can see they get put into the schooling system and it slowly gets snuffed out, you know?
Right, it does. It does. So it's our job.
That's our job, our generation's jobs, yeah. To show them the way from what we've learned. Yeah.
And
that's the trick.
Make sure parents spend a lot of time playing with them, having fun with them, doing fun things.
Yep.
To keep that little sparkle going, because
I've noticed very, very strongly working with children here and there, and children who are heavily vaccinated, I don't know, it just seems to take that spark away. It's weird. I haven't been able to put my finger on it.
Right.
But it seems like the vaccines, take a part out of them. You can see the difference between heavily vaccinated children and unvaccinated children. And, I have done some podcasts with Jim West talking about ultrasounds, how that's initially doing all that pre-damage inside the womb, to set them up, and vaccines are just compounding and all this stuff, but it's almost like these kids are, it's just something's been taken away that in there, and they just sort of stare off into space all the time. They've lost all these things that we're talking about now. I put up a story. I don't know if you've heard this. It's really amazing. I'll read this to you. I put it up. It's very popular on Facebook. And this was from Valerie Tabor Smith. And she's a world-famous children's photographer. And she said, I see firsthand how vaccines affect babies and how their eyes seem glazed over. And that is everyone's vaccinated baby, not just the ones with drastic reactions. It is so rare that I get an unvaccinated baby in front of my camera now. The difference is amazing. Their eyes sparkle. They look you in the eye and are interested in you. They don't get tired, don't have dark circles under their eyes, don't stare into space even though you call their name. I could go on. I talk to parents all the time, but not one has ever changed their course. I feel like I live in a world where everyone is hypnotized by big media. That was from a world-famous photographer, children's photographer. So she noticed that these heavily vaccinated kids don't have that sparkle, in their eyes. And I was wondering about that. It's not just a damage issue, but it seems to be a spiritual issue as well with these children. Something's been taken from them there to...
Well, we have on our website, this is my effort to tell the vaccine story. And if you look on parentsagainstmandatoryvaccines.net and you scroll down, vaccines are the biggest lie Big Pharma ever sold.
Yes.
okay, we're putting the blame where it's going.
Yep.
Nothing to do with choice. It's a sold lie. And on that page, we gave proof that vaccines are not safe or effective. They, Big Pharma doesn't claim them to be safe or effective.
Exactly. It's a
scam. It's a scam. Then we go down to little 10 known facts. Big Pharma lies exposed. We include who's keeping the truth. We expose the CDC. Then we have unvaccinated children are healthier.
Exactly. Put that one and, up. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we go down to say what they can do about it. And I'm not the smart, you know, the sharpest pencil in the box. But I think people are going to find that I'm not political. I don't have to defend an organization. I don't have to be afraid of telling the truth. And I'm not. And we need more of us to get off the choice thing and do something like this. Show that poor baby. It's a picture of a baby with three needles going into it. I mean, this is the kind of powerful message we should be giving and not this choice, very feeble, very weak argument.
Is that the picture with the baby getting two or three jabs with its own mother holding it down?
No, this is another picture. This is a picture with a baby that's probably 10 months old, and there's six hands. Each one has a needle sticking it into the baby, and the baby's crying.
Yeah, because they panic and scream, so they say, oh, just give them everything at once. I've seen those pictures with the baby screaming, and they're jabbing two, three needles at once into them with the baby's mother holding it down by the throat. It just defies belief how people could get into such a position in this lifetime. I just hold your own child down screaming while they stab it. You know, it's almost satanic. I just can't, but it's like a ritual, satanic ritual, on a cold, sterile table in a doctor's office. There's nurses stabbing these children with this venom while their own mum, their own baby's own mother, holds it down against its will. It's astounding.
Well, and that's why we're using the slogan, vaccines are the biggest lie Big Pharma ever sold.
That's the way I want to go now. That's what I've been doing. So I'm going to use this material that you're speaking of here, because that's what we want to do.
That's what we want to do.
It cuts all the bullshit, doesn't it? You know, if people are too busy and, you know, don't want to learn too much, you can just show them that.
Just show them that picture. Say, look, it's a lie.
It's a lie. It's a corporation. And of course they're going to want you to think that. You know, they're going to tell you lies to get your money.
You know?
They got you caught up in so much red tape in between that you're not seeing the bigger picture through the trees.
Yeah. I mean, do people think if you buy Coca-Cola, all of a sudden you're going to have a lot of fun just because you got that darn thing in your hand? Well, I mean, come on, people. Let's get a lot more. You know, this is all advertising.
It's amazing. I've seen these new Coca-Cola ads on TV here with these beautiful people bouncing around the beach, and they're so happy that they've got the Coca-Cola. But what they're doing now is they've got these close-ups of the Coke being poured into a cold glass, and you can hear the effervescent, you know, the fizziness, the bubbles.
Yeah.
And it's like they're showing these bubbles like on a micro level, just sparkling and bubbling out with a noise as well. They're really getting into that sort of side of the advertising, so it almost gives the viewer a buzz, you know? It's amazing.
Yeah. They're trying. It's all subliminal, and
with the ice and the cracks and the digital sound now and the big screen TVs. It's amazing. Yeah.
See, now that picture of that baby is all a big image, and it's a whole lot different than the pictures that they try to show that everybody in the community is safe and happy and healthy because they're all vaccinated.
Yeah, that's what we get with the with our government here. We have kids often playing in a field of grass and flowers with butterflies, and they're just saying to vaccinate them, you know, get your vaccines and keep them healthy and happy and vibrant.
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
and therefore, I know you understand, and I'm so happy that you agree, because therefore our message is to be, it's the biggest lie Big Pharma ever sold.
It's the Grim Reaper. It's death. That's what they're offering.
And you, and so you want to say, look, you're being sold.
Death.
The ads are selling you a lie.
Yeah. Lies and death and ill health and ignorance.
And since when do you believe the ads, you know? Come on. Big Pharma's got more money than God, okay? And they can buy politicians. They can buy doctors. They can buy spokespeople. They can buy universities. No problem. And that's what they've done.
It's frustrating because you do so much work in regards to this and get so many people on board, and then they find out, and then they have this glossy news hit piece, you know, right, on the 6 o'clock main news with their cameras and their reporters, and they make it look so nice and believable, and you just right, feel, oh my God, you know, because yeah, we're doing websites and podcasting and screaming and ranting and raving to, you know, and trying to get all this out, and they just do a hit piece on the 6 o'clock news, and it does look amazing, and the way they pass it off, and people in their millions sit down and watch it, and you just feel like it gets frustrating, but you know, you just right, gotta, they do have that power in regards to owning the media, you know, when you control the world's media and newspapers. As I said, the Murdoch newspapers have a full page, you know, saying that unvaccinated children are now a threat to Australian society, you know, and all this lies and rubbish, but not one single line in there to back anything up that they're saying, not one bit of proof, not one document, not one link, just
right,
propaganda and lies. But right, it looks good in the paper, Anita. Looks good. Full page article, they open the paper and there it is. You know, big picture,
yeah,
you know, and, you know, people fall down that hole.
And Russell Blaylock exposed this, you know, that TV came on in the United States, and in the 50s, Rockefeller was going to advertise Big Pharma products, Big Pharma. Well, at the time, they weren't advertising products. What they were doing is they were providing medical experts for the network to do stories. But they were Rockefeller's handpicked medical experts. And if the TV at the time, they were paying advertising, they needed their advertising to keep the TV station going. So it was real easy for Rockefeller because he said, if you say anything against my products, I'll cancel my ads. So that's it. Now people got it. Does everybody get that?
Yep. There you go.
If they say anything against the Big Pharma.
Yeah.
They cancel their advertisement, and that network is going to be in financial trouble.
Down the toilet.
Yep.
There was a great video as well called Leadership and Longevity with Dr. Andrew Wakefield. CDC whistleblower, autism, and mandatory vaccination. It's a new one, or 2015. It's incredible. And he deeply goes into the media control, being controlled by the drug corporations in this video. It's one of the best I've ever seen.
So oh, good.
I encourage people to watch that. It is just such a... You just watch this guy talking. It's quite a long one. It's a live talk, but you just can't believe what he says in this. He lays every single thing out on the table. It's amazing.
What's the name?
I'll send it to you now.
Okay, great. Send it to me.
And then...
I'll post it.
Yeah. That'll come up just as sound on my end. But it's absolutely amazing. I've been posting the hell out of it. It's probably the best one I've seen on this. It's so brilliant. Brilliant guy. And right, we can see why the Murdoch newspapers over there in the UK absolutely tried to crucify him. And that's what they do here. People need to understand this, Anita. You know, that the Murdoch newspaper and all these newspapers, these columnists that work for them, they're just gatekeepers and they represent corporations. That's all they're right, doing. And our prime minister's the same. You know, he isn't a prime minister. These people aren't politicians in the way that you think they are. They're just they're just out there and they represent big corporations. That's what they do. And if they don't represent them, they lose their funding, which means they lose their jobs. And
right,
so the media are no different. All this stuff they write in the Murdoch newspapers and the Daily Telegraph, right, all this stuff lying about children and pushing right, forced vaccination, that's their job. That's what these people do. They're paid to push mandatory vaccinations so the big companies that own them can make money.
Right. That's correct. That's absolutely right. And the sooner people understand, the more progress we're going to make.
That's it.
And I... I don't know why the movement moved down the choice path. You can analyze that and why they didn't choose the path. Vaccines are the biggest lie Big Pharma ever sold. I cannot answer that, but in my opinion, that was a very strategic mistake.
I'm hoping all this is going to come and bite them on the ass. That's what I really do, because it's already happening here.
Good.
You know, people are now getting their backs up and they're thinking, how dare you? You know, how dare you accuse me of this and that? And I think what's made people really angry is the discrimination against children with these talking heads up there on these TV shows and through the media, discriminating against healthy, unvaccinated children like my child, saying that they shouldn't be allowed to go to school, they shouldn't be allowed to ride on buses, they shouldn't be allowed to mix with our vaccinated kids. Hello, dumbass. Your kid's vaccinated. I mean, this is what they're saying to keep your unvaccinated kids away from our vaccinated kids. That means vaccines don't work, right?
Okay, and and how do we respond to that? We say, you know what? You bought all the Big Pharma stuff, haven't you?
Yep.
In other words, we don't get into an argument about vaccinated versus unvaccinated. We go right to the source. My gosh, you bought all the Big Pharma propaganda, didn't you?
Yes, that's exactly what I say to them now. Because as soon as I try and engage with them, they just spew stuff from the Murdoch newspapers. And how do I know? I keep them all and I read them. That's why.
Right.
And I say, you've been reading the Murdoch newspapers, so that means you don't have your own opinion. You're regurgitating big pharmaceutical drug company mafia propaganda to me. So come back to me later when you actually have learned something. Even if you still agree with vaccination, at least tell me what you think. Don't regurgitate media propaganda.
Well, you let me know what you think of Big Pharma Exposed, because it's only 2 pages. It's got pictures. There's just little paragraphs.
I've already posted that.
Shouldn't be too complex.
Yeah, that's going up with today's podcast link, so no excuse for people not to read it. It's all there.
Yeah.
Some great stuff there.
I think this was great, and I'm so glad that you're there and so many people in Australia are aware of this problem and they're now ready to look at solutions. So some people in Australia I should be talking with right now, like a guy by the name of Mark McMurtry. I mean, he may have additional solutions. He understands the whole corporate structure.
Let's get into contact with Mark and see if he'll come on for a chat.
Yeah, because he's got it. He knows it. He's been at it for years. Now, you may have to educate him. What I have found is that means sometimes we have to be prepared for the possibility he may also think vaccines are good.
Get that? Yeah. But that's a personal opinion, and I have nothing against that. You know, I don't want people to stop vaccinating because that's their right to. But it's also my right and your right not to. And, you know, that's why all these people who are pro-vax need to all come on. We all need to do this together because we don't want to lose our rights in regards to this in any way. So I'm not going to sit up and tell people to not, I personally think it's child abuse. I think that vaccinating a child is abusive, and I think it's, that's my opinion, but I can't get up there and tell people not to. I can just tell them,
but you can do your
research, you know, and at least research it and come up with your own opinions on what you think's better.
Okay. I'm a little bolder than you.
I am, personally. But it would kind of make me a hypocrite in a way because, I don't want to sort of – I want people to do what they think's best. But, you know, if you were to ask me personally, as I said, I think it's child abuse. And I'm absolutely – you know, I'm probably more harsher than you. But I guess I feel like I have to be careful what I say doing this, you know, in a way. I don't really know how to go about it. But I know that these people in the pro-vax community are very – have big mouths. You know, and they seem to think it's funny that people who don't want to vaccinate are going to lose their rights. You know,
and
would you like it?
I go above that level. I try to keep going higher and figure out the reason they're saying that is they're missing a big part of the puzzle. So I say to myself, they wouldn't be saying that if they understood it. So What can I say to bring them closer to understanding? And what I do is I say, I hear you, but did you know that Big Pharma does not warrant vaccines as being either safe or effective? Did you know that? And they go, what are you talking about? You know? And that's when I can easily go into, well, in the United States, the Supreme Court gave them complete and total immunity from any harm or injury, so they have no obligation to make them either safe or effective. Now, why would you give your child a product that's a chemical agent that the company makes it?
It's amazing some people still would.
Does not call either safe or effective. And if your kid gets injured, they do not stand behind this product.
Some people still would, even after what you just said. They really would. It's so deeply embedded in them. You know, that the pharma is, that the vaccines are the right way and pharma is good, even though all this comes out about them. They just refuse.
Well, I know.
And those people are too far gone, I think. And I think that I would hope to think that there's just more people that would say, all right, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
So I don't think we need to worry about them, really. I really don't. I think I think they're a small minority now that are that deeply embedded in the system. You know, and that's Stockholm Syndrome, isn't it?
It is Stockholm Syndrome. Yeah. But I try to avoid getting to, well, you know, it's your choice, you can vaccinate. I try to get them out of that thinking.
And to see the facts and what's really being done.
There are people who have looked at this who do not believe they're either safe or effective. I know you may still hold that belief, but give that some consideration. There's a growing huge number of medical professionals who are saying they are neither safe nor effective.
That's right, and there's a lot of groups with good intentions now on social media, pro-choice groups and all these vaccination groups that I've decided to get out of. Because I want to take this sort of path, what you're talking about now, and get people like you on and talking about this stuff, and I think I'm having a very big impact there. But that's their path, and that's what they're doing, and right. their intentions are good and honourable for the most part. So that's important to me. But you know that they want freedom of choice. But as you said, it goes much higher. But that's what I'm sort of doing now, and just seeing them. If there's any other friends that you have or guests you think that could come on my podcast, let me know, and I'll give them a bell, email them, and get them on, chat to them as well, put their website out and all of that.
Okay.
I'd love looking for new guests, especially with the work you're doing, or any kind of doctors. You know, as I said, I get Dr. Reamer on, and I found a lot of doctors in Australia that are thinking like us. They don't want to come out yet. And they don't reply to me, but you see, that's why I do so many interviews in the US. It's just so much more open there. It's, I get John Rappaport on and so many people who are exposing this.
One of the most important people I had on was Dr. David Lewis, and I can forward you his email address.
Okay, yeah, I'll let him know that.
Do you know about him?
Just his name, but I'm not about his material.
Well, he actually investigated how it is that they attacked Andrew Wakefield.
Yeah, that's in one of the links I put up. I think that's where I heard him, because I put a big thing up on Wakefield. Yeah.
And he exposed how that job was done, how that horrible frame job was done against him.
Disgusting.
He's just really wonderful man. Good man. And he wrote a book, Science for Sale, where he has proven he's been in academia, he's been in government agencies, and he's worked for private corporations, all three in his life, as a scientist. And he wrote the book Science for Sale because he acknowledged in all three of those major institutions that are part of our world, a very real part of our world, all three of them produce science for profit. And whether or not they cause harm or injury is not a consideration.
Okay.
It's all for sale.
can have a look at that book and
see if I can wonderful.
Contact him. Okay.
Because he was with the CDC and the EPA.
He knows.
He held his breath for until he retired. And as soon as he saved all his documents, as soon as he retired, he wrote this book exposing what it is. And that's, again, people don't want to expose the CDC, and he did. And so it's not me saying all these things about the CDC. It's an insider, a whistleblower.
Science for sale.
Yep.
What was his name again?
Dr. David Lewis, L-E-W-I-S.
Another one up here, similar book. Okay.
Right.
So just to make sure. There was another book called Science for Sale.
Well,
Dr. David Lewis, that's the one? Okay, cool.
Yeah, and that's why we did this. We're trying to help get the smart people who are courageous get their word out.
Exactly.
Because, how many people know about Marsha Angel, who wrote this book in 2005 exposing Big Pharma? She's been trying to get the word out for a long time.
Yeah. That's
so
right.
At least we can help them because they've done some pretty brave stuff, you know.
That's it. All right.
Okay. I enjoyed talking to you.
It's been great, and we'll do it again sometime soon when you have
some
time.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it's always great talking to you. Free-flowing, and I like that. Just going over different subjects. No motives or agendas behind it. No practice. We just started and did it. Yep.
And thank you so much for the invitation. I really appreciate that.
Anything you want to get out? Any your websites you want to mention before we plug out, or radio show you're doing, anything like that?
Okay. I have two, anticorruptionsociety.com. Some of the articles that we talked about are there. And parentsagainstmandatoryvaccines.net. Mm-hmm. And every Saturday night, I co-host a program on RBN, 8 p.m. Eastern, called In Defense of Humanity. And many of these topics we talk about on that program. People, it's free online. I think you can even dial in if you don't have an online access and listen to the show. And we do try to take callers every week. And we do talk a lot about the vaccination issue as well as the straw man.
That's a good show. I'm going to put that one. See if I can find that. What radio show was that on?
RBN.
Show? RBN. That's it?
Uh-huh. And the name of the show is In Defense of Humanity.
RBN. Okay. Just get that up. I want to put the links up. There we are. Nina Whitney. And you do it with another host?
Yes, a co-host, Ingrid Castle.
That's it? Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's the one. Yeah, and that's got your website links and everything up there. Okay, I'll whack that up.
Yes.
So people can listen to that for free.
Yes.
Well, that's great. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, great speaking to you.
And good luck to you guys, and I hope we're going to make some progress in this battle, really.
Yeah, we don't want to live in a medical tyranny.
No.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that. Okay, you take care.
Thanks so much.
Uh-huh, thank you.